I've been teaching for 22 years. And each year, these kids get more and more arrogant.
Come on, Vern. The kids haven't changed. You have. Come on. Listen, Vern, if you were 16, what would you think of you, huh?
If you were 16, what would you think of you? Now, all of us as adults, we can look at ourselves and if we have kids and say, you know, how do I come across to a teenager? If I were a teenager, what would I have thought of me as a parent? Am I a strict parent? Am I a cool parent, a parent that gets along with my kids' friends? Do I do it in a goofy way or do I do it in a dignified way? Do I bring out the best in their friends or am I a luxury parent? So it's good to have those moments of reflection. You may not like what you see, but you may like what you see. If you like what you see, you can enjoy it. Just have one of those moments of pride. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. The show is The Rational Basis of Happiness and my website's drkenner.com. Right before the break, I was talking about a woman who's in a relationship, very sad situation. She's losing lots of weight. She was 220 pounds. She lost 10 pounds in the last month, and she's now 130 pounds. And her boyfriend, you can't even call him a boyfriend, that's bizarre, lives with her, screams at her, yells at her, at least emotionally abusive to her son, wanted her to lock her son out of the house. He's 12 years old, and she wants to dump this guy. If, and her name's Maureen. Maureen, if you had the confidence, if you weren't so beaten down, you could use assertiveness skills, and assuming that he doesn't have knife or guns and wouldn't physically harm you, you could just say, Hank, it's over. It's history. Get out of here. Pack your bags. You're to be out of here today. Or you could pack his bags, get some friends, get some family members there, and pack his bags and just have them outside and say, you know why you're out of here. You're out of here today. I don't care where you go. You could do that. If he is irrational, if he's drinking, if you think he could retaliate, then you can't go that route. You will need police assistance. I would not give him a whole bunch of warnings about this, but I would definitely get the help. The national hotline that you could call, the Coalition Against Domestic Violence, is a 24-hour hotline, 202-232-6682, or you can go to www.womanshealth.org and get some help there. You definitely want to recognize that you're in an abusive situation. I think once you're out of this situation, it'll be much better for you. It will be much better for your son, and you can breathe a sigh of relief and have your home free of this stink, this guy. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and I mentioned earlier that I had gotten some holiday cards. We get cards from a relative, and we have for, I'd say almost a decade, from some woman who we've never met, and she sends us, you know, sometimes I even miss my sister's birthday. I'm pretty good with cards, but this woman doesn't miss a beat. She sends us these holiday cards, and even when my mother-in-law died, we got a card that said, I sent your mother a birthday card, which was returned, knowing she's been in a nursing home. So she's monitoring our lives. I looked in the Social Security Death Index and found her name. We're writing to you. We're very, very, we're thinking of you. I can't read her writing. Our very sincerest condolences. Now, how can she have sincere condolences if we've never, never, never met? She wrote to other family members. She has a family tree. She writes to everyone. And people have said they never met her. They don't know her. So when you're writing your holiday cards or your New Year's cards or any special occasion cards, be aware that if you don't know the person, it comes across as phony. It doesn't come across as, oh, how wonderful, I feel so valued. She doesn't even know me. So you don't want to do that, obviously, to yourself or to other people. Now, I mentioned before that I would be quoting from the Bible, and I got an email about someone who wrote me an email. So first, let me give you the first situation. This was Chelsea. She was 17 years old. She's had sex. She lied to her family and friends. She was arrested for possession of drugs. She lost all of her friends, dropped out of school, tried to kill herself. Her mother obviously wanted her out of the house and put her into a home with old people. And the girl now, Chelsea, sits in her apartment all day and does nothing. She's lonely. She said she hates herself and yet doesn't want to die. She's struggling to complete night school, and she's about to be 17. Oh, she isn't even 17. She's 16. And she doesn't have a driver's license at this point. She can't afford it. She doesn't have money. So I had given some advice, and someone that was listening, George, wrote me an email and said, I listened with great interest to the plight of Chelsea. I think she would derive a great deal of satisfaction if she would read the biblical story of the prodigal son, perhaps humbling herself. Well, you're not going to ever hear me say that. And returning to the care of her mother would do both some good. My guess is the mother doesn't want her back in that house right away. Thank you. Think she's going to have to earn the mother's trust to ever come back into the mother's life. So he recommends joining a religious congregation would place her in the company of friends and thereby removing that sense of loneliness. There are so many other good things to be gotten from such an environment. Thanks, George. Now, George, a religious organization is a package deal. On one hand, there can be dances, there can be the camaraderie, there can be friendship, and that's all rational and that's all wonderful. But many times, there's the downside of that package, too. So here's what I think. I don't think she should humble herself anymore. I don't think Chelsea can humble herself anymore. She has given up all her values. She has given up her happiness. She has given up her independent thinking. She has given up her... She sits at home and does nothing all day. What is there to humble herself? She needs to build pride. She needs to get out there in the workforce, even if it's working at a McDonald's, and discover that she can earn her own self-respect. Be a decent, productive person. She needs to work at night. She's in night school now, so she's already gotten a foot in the door into a healthier life. What I would recommend is that she build those friendships by studying with students, by connecting with kids in night school rather than a religious community. She needs to focus her efforts on seeing her own mental capabilities, her own efficacy. Now, I looked up the story of the prodigal son, and the prodigal son is about a dad who had two sons, and he gave them a bunch of money. One son is a good son, but he doesn't get much visibility from his dad. The other son makes very bad choices. He goes out with harlots and wastes all his money, throws it away, and is left with no money, surprise, surprise. So he has to eat the food that the swine eat, the pigs eat. He's out on his own now, and he has to eat the corn husks or whatever he's eating. And he's thinking to himself, he's saying, you know what? My dad's slaves eat better than this. So he's conniving. Maybe if I go back and, you know, humble myself before dad, dad will feed me better. So he decides to go back and he tells dad, Dad, I've sinned. You know, I'm back here because he wants to eat better. He didn't say he wanted a better character. He just wants to eat better. So dad gets all excited, welcomes him back. He says, my dead son is now alive. And he kills a fatted cow and they have festivities, music and dance to celebrate that the bad son is now back in the house. Of course, the kid hasn't proved himself yet. All he wants is better food than the swine eat. Now, the good son comes home and sees all this frolicking and reveling and say, what's going on? And the dad says, well, your brother's back. And he goes, well, that's a tremendous injustice. I've been good all my life and you haven't given me anything. Now, I agree with that son. So I don't think that one should turn to that story for help. Chelsea needs to learn how to discover her own independent thinking, use her own mind well. The downside of religion is they ask you to make the ultimate sacrifice. They ask you to make the leap of faith. They ask you to be a martyr, to sacrifice your value, give up your worldly goods. I would tell her to rationally pursue her worldly goods, to learn how to think well, to get a good job, at least jumpstart herself, to get an education, and to later on think about connecting with family, but to learn that she can make friends first and that she can trust herself before she asks other people to trust her. And I think she needs rational virtues, honesty, independence, integrity, being productive, having a good sense of justice, and earning her pride, not her humility, and hopefully even someday having a rational relationship. And of course, I love Ayn Rand's guidance, which is, you know, she says the purpose of morality is to teach you not to suffer and die, but to enjoy your life and to enjoy yourself and live. And of course, that's all done rationally, not hedonistically. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. You're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness. And coming up, we have an interview with Dr. Eric Daniels, which will tell you why it's so wonderful to live in the United States and why our culture fosters rationality and creativity and how you can use that in your own life. So I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness. You held me down, but I got up. Get ready, because I've had enough. I see it all. I see it now. I got the eye of the tiger.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Another virtue that makes you lovable is productivity. Productivity is the process of creating material values, goods or services. Living requires material values. If nobody worked, how would you get your home, food, clothes, car, or medical care? Material values are not just a matter of surviving at the subsistence level. The goods and services we buy are healthy sources of pleasure. Books, appliances, jewelry, art, personal computers, massages, vacations, and much more. We are not advocating using things, including money, as status symbols. This shows a lack of independence and makes you feel chronically insecure because there is always someone who has more.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.